Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit and joined the U.S. Army in 1974 as an enlisted Signal Corps soldier. In 1976, she was selected to West Point and earned a Bachelor of Science in Engineering in 1980. She's the first female African-American graduate in West Point's history. She's the president of the Seeds of Humanity Foundation, which addresses significant childhood developmental needs in underserved areas. Her name, Major Patlock. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Major Patlock, the first female African-American graduate in West Point's history. Major, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you very much. It's a great honor to be able to talk to you.
Your mom was 14. She's pregnant with you. Your dad's not in your life. Can you tell us about the first few years growing up in Detroit, Michigan?
That's the most interesting part is that those years are very clear for me. I remember my grandmother was pretty much the matriarch and standard bearer for our family. And my mom and all of my aunts and uncles and all of my cousins were all kind of in the same house there for a little while. I remember going to St. Peter Claver Nursery School because we were Catholic. They had come up from the South. And the Catholic Church took real good care of them and gave them a good start in Detroit. And that's what I remember about my childhood is going to those places where I started my life learning and kind of developed a love for that type of learning all the way through. My grandmother was a very strict disciplinarian. And just remember that we walked everywhere because cars weren't, that wasn't part of our life yet. And so we got to see a lot of Detroit. And my favorite place to go, absolute favorite place to go, was White Castle Hamburgers.
Oh.
And that's when I grew up. And that was a reward for us if we were on our very best behavior. So the first 5 years or so were excellent and until school started.
The famous slider. So what's the biggest thing you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from your grandma?
The biggest thing I learned from my mom was in school, A's were the standard. So she said, if you weren't shooting for A's, and I just remember dreading coming home and if I got anything less than a B on a report card or a paper or anything like that. So that was one of the biggest things that she instilled in us was education, education, education. And back in those days, if the teacher said you did something wrong, you not only got disciplined by the teacher, but you got disciplined by mom when you got home, you disciplined by grandma when you got home. And so it was a different relationship between teachers and parents back in those days. And I wouldn't say it was for... It was for the worse, but it certainly got me focused that the people that were in authority over me, people that were raising me, pretty much had my best interest at heart, making sure that that my behavior was appropriate all the way around, no matter where I went.
Let's jump to 1967, and Detroit experiences the riots, the uprising. What do you remember about that, Pat?
Yes, in 1967, would have been a very ordinary year, I guess, without the Detroit race riots. And I just, you know, being a 10-year-old at the time, you just didn't know what was going on. You only knew your immediate world, you know, those blocks around your home, where your friends were, where you walked from your home to school or to the swimming pool area. And we always walked by my old school, which was Roosevelt Elementary Schools on that same campus with Roosevelt and Durfee and Central High School. And that's where many of the 82nd Airborne soldiers were bivouacked. And I remember that was significant memory, that it was the first time I thought I really ever saw a black man in uniform. And I was just so impressed and just awestruck by how they walked and carried themselves and their aviator sunglasses. And it was just a phenomenal experience that really left a huge impression on me. Despite what was going on around, their job was to keep us away from the broken glass and the fires and the bullets and things like that. But that's not what I was focused on. I was focused on the pride that I felt from them as being a soldier in the United States Army.
You graduated from Mumford High School. How good were your grades, and what were your best subjects?
Well, to tell you the truth, until I got to West Point, I thought math was my best subject. I thought I was pretty good at math because whatever they gave me, I pretty much excelled at. I think I graduated, it was either 4th or 14th in my class. I think it was 4th in my class. And so I went from there. I graduated very early because I needed to get out of high school for a whole bunch of other reasons and family development issues that I just needed to get away from. So I graduated when I was, just barely 16. And I had a very good grade point average, but I found out, back in those days in the 60s and early 70s, they wouldn't let you go to college unless you had a four-year high school diploma. And I had a high school diploma, just didn't say 4 years on it. So I went from there to the Army and got a very good skill set because when I tested, my GT score was pretty high. So I went into the communications field. Like I said, my life at Mumford, even though it was not the best situation all the way around at Mumford, I was able to do very well in the Army based on my education.
We're talking to Major Pat Locke, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Major Pat Locke, who joined the Army 1974, and one day, Pat, January 1976, a colonel spoke to you, changed your life, changed history. What happened?
Well, in 1976, I proclaimed myself one of the best soldiers in the battalion. And the colonel, who was the battalion commander at the time, pulled me aside and brought me to his office and said, "How would you like to go to West Point?" And, of course, I think I was maybe 18 or something like that. And I said to him, "What is West Point?" And I'm thinking it's in California. I've never been to California. It might be okay. And, of course, he says, "Well, West Point is the United States Military Academy." And so he went on to try to explain to me that it develops leaders and you go there and you learn how to run be in the Army and be a leader in the Army and on and on and on and on. After he talked, I said, "Well, I'm not really interested because I'm learning how to be a leader right here. And this is where all my friends are, and this is kind of where I want to stay. This is where I've made my mark, and I don't need to go any place else because I think I can learn right here. And he goes, no. This is the place that is the premier leadership institution in the nation, and you really want to go here. And I said, no, I don't. I got a first sergeant here. I don't need to go to any place else. And he says, it has one of the best educations in the world. And I said, what kind of education? And he said, like science and math. I said, is it like a college? And he says, well, yes. I said, do you get a degree from this place? And he said, well, yes, you do. You get a Bachelor of Science degree. And I said, how much does it cost? And he said, well, it would be free, and you still get paid while you're going there. And I said, oh, my goodness, you should have led with that. I said, but when do I leave? He says, well, you have to leave tomorrow because you have to be up there on the very next day. And so I packed all of my stuff that I owned in half of a duffel bag, threw it in my truck, and drove to Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, which is the United States Military Academy Preparatory School at the time. And it was the first year that the prep school was at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. It had just moved from Fort Belvoir, Virginia.
The West Point was founded in 1801, and in 1976 was the first time they allowed women to become cadets. Tell us about West Point when you got there, please.
So after spending some time in the prep school and getting myself qualified to go into the academy, it was a very strange thing because we had, the PT, the physical training standards were changing in the Army, not just for men, but for women also. I remember that we only had to run a mile in basic training, and I thought I was going to die doing that. And then we went up to West Point, and it was truly a culture shock when I got there. Many of the soldiers that I was with in the prep school were African-American. At least that's what I saw. They had the women separated from the men in a different bay. And I was, of course, the only black woman in the bay with the prep schoolers. And there were 20 women, and only six of us were selected to go to the academy. But when I got there, what I saw was absolutely shocking. You have to remember, I came from Detroit, a predominantly black community, and I get to West Point, I get off the bus, and the first question I asked in my mind, not out loud, is, where are all the black people? And so from the time you get off the bus until whatever you're yelled at, and our day is a day of lots of stress and lots of physical exertion. And if you can survive our day, then you're well on your way. And what I experienced during our day with everybody yelling at me and all other stuff, I said, after I stayed there for 1 hour, I had already invested too much to quit. So I kept going. And one of the things that really kept me going, everything was unfamiliar, how people talked, how they dressed, things that they were interested in, what was important to them. All those were just like a huge culture shock to me because I thought that nothing that they were saying or talking about was important to me. I did learn that the greatest comfort I had was, of course, the music from the Hellcats, which is the music that they use to have us march by every day, because our parents, my grandparents, and my mom and all grew up being majorettes. And so we were very, very familiar with marching, and that was something that was of a comfort to me because that's something that I think I excelled at West Point.
We're talking to Major Pat Locke, and after 175 years of West Point, they admitted women. And Major was in the first class. Pat, another thing that West Point is famous for is the honor code versus what you saw and learned on the streets of Detroit. How did you accept that honor code?
I thought that the West Point honor code was something totally unrealistic, something that it was just something that they were paying lip service to. And I said, there is no way that people can live without lying, cheating, or stealing, because that was part of the culture that I grew up with. That was how you survived. I mean, it was really about a life or death thing. If your parents told you to lie, then you lied. If somebody else told you to tell a lie, then you told a lie. It was more of a survival techniques than anything else. So I went to this place, And they told me, if you're a cadet, you know, you learn that in the first 38 minutes that you're at the academy. A cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, nor tolerate those that do. And so I said, oh, okay, let's try this out. Let's see how this is going to work out for us. And I truly believe that within a couple days of being there, I said, this really works. You can lay stuff down, and it'll be there when you come back. And you can hang your coat up on a hook, and it'll be there when you come back. And you can leave your books in a classroom, and they'll be there when you come back. I couldn't believe it. And I said, whoa, so I completely embraced the honor code, because I felt like, of course, that just living under a system like that where everyone was completely honest, they didn't steal it, lie, cheat, or steal. I said, it was like breathing oxygen for the first time. I couldn't believe that I was in a place and I was totally comfortable with not having to lie, cheat, or steal. It completely turns your psyche. And then you begin to think that, hey, wait, the whole world should be like this. The whole world should be like West Point. But that's something that you have to sign up for. That's something that you have to agree to, commit to as a cadet in the United States Military Academy. Don't think we can get the whole world to do that, but that should be a goal.
We're talking to Major Pat Locke, and on May 28th, 1980, she was one of 62 women who graduated from West Point, the first time women ever graduated, and she was one of only two African-American women, herself and Joy Dallas. When we come back, we'll ask her about May 28th, 1980. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Major Pat Locke, who's the president of Seeds of Humanity Foundation. Major, May 28th, 1980, you graduate from West Point, and your mom sees you graduate that day from West Point. What was that day like for you?
Well, on May 28th, 1980, my graduation day, my mom was there, and I'll have to tell you, I think she was there, but she had no idea what she was looking at. I don't think she even recognized where I had been the last 4 years. She just knew I was away from home and I was in the Army, and that's about all she knew. On the 28th of May, when I received my diploma, the first thing I wanted to do was run away very, very quickly. I wanted to just jump in my car and drive away, because I thought for sure that somebody was going to come and take it away from me and say, oops, we made a mistake. This doesn't really belong to you. You missed this requirement, this requirement, this requirement, so we're going to have to take your diploma away. That was my biggest fear for the day of graduation, that somebody was going to come and take that diploma away from me. So it was an unbelievable day. I could not believe that I had survived this experience. But I will tell you that on that day, anything that happened at the academy during those 4 years, probably I completely forgot, because the diploma meant so much to me. And the fact that I could hold my own in the world, that I could hold my own in any conversation, that I could do any job, or I had the foundation to learn any job. I mean, the math and science that we learned at the academy was absolutely phenomenal. And not only that, they taught you how to apply it in everyday life, so that as soon as I got into the Army, I was using every bit that I learned at the academy. And I was incredibly grateful on that day. And I had no idea that I would do as well as I did in the Army on graduation day. So that was gift number one, was the diploma. But gift number two was what I could do to contribute to the goodness in the world.
Major, what's the biggest thing you learned at West Point?
The biggest thing that I learned at West Point, I know this is going to sound corny, but I learned how to learn.
I was so enthralled with, how is it that they're going to teach me 5 years of math in 1 year? They have a system called the Thayer system. Now, it was the Thayer's method of learning that I had not grown up with. But once you are introduced to it at West Point, it's a very disciplined way of learning. It's a good way of pushing all learning into long-term memory so that you hold on to it longer. And I was amazed at how much I was able to learn because of the way that they taught. So I use that today in my training methods. I train students for the SAT and the ACT, and I use the exact same method that I learned because I know that it works. It worked for me, so I'm thinking that it's going to work for other students too. But learning how to learn and developing a lifelong love of learning was like the greatest gift that I had gained at West Point. The second greatest was that you are a leader, be a leader everywhere you go, in every environment that you're in. So those two things is what I took away the most.
For the next 15 years thereafter, until 1995, you served as a leader in the U.S. Army. Can you share a little bit about that chapter in your life, please?
Well, the thing that I liked about the Army is that they expect you to take charge. And that's exactly what I did with every job that I had, every unit that I went to. The one thing about the Army back in the mid-70s is that if you were single, they moved you around a lot. So I think I changed duty stations every year for the first 10 years that I was in the Army. But I absolutely loved it. It gave you a way to adapt. It allowed you to sharpen your leadership skills, your own personal goals and things like that. It was you ran into a different group of people, different circumstances. At the time, our world was going through a huge drug problem, and that was no less true for our Army back then. And so, yes, being on the streets of Detroit and then coming to the Army and seeing that they had somewhat similar problems with drug addiction and violence and things like that, I was able to deal with that very well as a leader, because that's one of the things that they talked about at West Point. But I was familiar with that type of environment, and so we were able to function effectively and get things done. I just remember, you know, by the time I PCS'd over to Germany, you know, we fired Iron Battery there, which it was a great experience with all of my soldiers, and the soldiers are absolutely the best circumstances that you can have. Just being able to lead soldiers is probably the greatest gift that the Army could give anyone, the opportunity to lead in this type of environment.
Another thing that happened while you were serving in the Army is you met and married Colonel Michael Locke, and God blessed you with a daughter, Sarah. And in May of 2015, your daughter graduates from West Point. What was that experience like for you, Pat?
Well, all I can say is, it was a more devastating feeling than when I graduated. I graduated, grabbed my diploma, and thought somebody was going to take away from me. But when she graduated, it was an overwhelming feeling of success for me. I thought I had made it out of Detroit. I made it into the Army. I'm giving back to my soldiers, my country, my nation. And then to have my daughter graduate and follow in my footsteps was not just a huge honor, but just pride in, you know, thank you, Army, for everything that you have done for me. And now thank you for allowing my daughter to experience the same things that I experienced. I feel that everyone would benefit from being in the Army, because there's something about serving your nation, serving your community, being able to serve your people, and the confidence and training that you come back to your community with is second to none. It's irreplaceable. You can't do it any other way. I call the Army the greatest leadership laboratory in the world, because this is where you learn about yourself. And my daughter, I know, would not be able to experience her full potential without having to start in the Army. The fact that the Army really does press you down very, very hard for you to become the best person that you can be. I'm not sure that we have a civilian equivalent that will do that in our nation. The training that you receive in the Army, the training that she received, she will always benefit from. So I am glad that she is on her way to becoming the full person that she needs to be to contribute to the world.
We're talking to Major Pat Locke, the first female African-American graduate in West Point's history. Speaking of achieving your ultimate capabilities, in August of 2017, Simone Askew achieved something. Pat, what did that young lady do?
Well, Simone Askew, I met when she was in the 11th grade here in Virginia. And I would like to say that I contributed a little tiny bit to her success. If nothing else, I was just the person sweeping away the cobwebs, sweeping away the dirt in front of her so she could roll down that path to what she has become right now, which is the first African-American woman, first captain, and Rhodes Scholar at the United States Military Academy. This is a historic achievement, and I've called her from the day that they announced her to be first captain. I have called her America's first captain because the world, or at least this nation, is going to learn a lot from Simone. Even though she's 21 years old, she has the maturity of probably a 60-year-old. She just has that much. And you wonder, how did she come to be like that? And it's because she listens, she learns, she cares, and she works incredibly hard, and she's incredibly smart. And you roll all that together, and what comes out of her mouth as words of wisdom will stun just about anybody. I am just so happy I could be a teeny-weeny part of her life. If you met her mother and sister, you would understand why she is the way she is. And I love Simone because she doesn't pull any punches. She lets you know where it is. And, you know, she's just very, very frank about what needs to happen and what she wants to do in her life. I think she is her area of study right now is genocide throughout the world. And I am just so happy. It's not just Simone. I mentor as many students as will allow me to mentor them. Now, I'm not an easy person to be around because I want people to dig and find the best in themselves. And that takes work. It takes perseverance. It takes endurance. And it takes a little bit of suffering. And a lot of people don't want to do that. But Simone is not one of those people.
We're talking to Major Pat Locke, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to a most fascinating great American from Detroit, Major Pat Locke, who, for the last 30 years, has given back and mentored, and she's the founder and president of Seeds of Humanity Foundation. Major, tell us about Seeds of Humanity Foundation, please.
Well, I started this organization back in 1995 because I wanted to do something for students and their advancement and give them a better path to a better start in life and a better pathway to make the most out of their academic career for the entire time they're in K-12. And I started this thinking that I think our students that were in pre-kindergarten and kindergarten were not getting a very good start. So I went to school and I became a certified international Montessori instructor so that I could understand human development more importantly, and how it applies to kids that are in the inner city and what we could do differently. So as the years rolled on, where we are right now is using the same methodologies that we use at the Academy to help students become better leaders, help them become better academicians, if that's a word, and to better learn the things that they need to learn in life. So, we teach them civility and manners and protocol and etiquette, and along with math, science, engineering, and technology. One of the things that the students understand when they start training is that they don't know how to learn. And we go through the methodology, and it's all scientific now, about how people learn and how to push things into long-term memory so that you have an easier time studying and an easier time getting A's in school, which is the goal. So a lot of our work centers around training kids for the standardized tests like the ACT and the ACT and the SAT. And so we have tons of kids over the house. We also really train them hard on leadership. We do leadership and ethics workshops across the nation. We did 10 just in this past year, this past academic year. We are working on doing one here in Virginia in just a couple weeks. We did one in Detroit for all of Detroit public, private, and charter schools back in October of 2017. We've done one of these workshops in Detroit since 2011, and we have seen Detroit, not just the students, but the Detroit system grow, the public school system grow. As we come back every year, we see different things. We see students achieving more. We've had very good success. We've had a African-American first captain from Detroit, Detroit Renaissance School. We've had our first African-American Schwarzman Scholar from the United States Military Academy, who also came from Detroit, Renaissance School. And we expect even greater things as we continue to come back to Detroit and continue to inspire kids to be great ethical leaders and also leaders in science, technology, engineering, and math. One of the things that we don't get enough of in school anymore is a good foundation in why ethics is important and why we need it as leaders in our nation. So that's what we do with our Seeds of Humanity Foundation.
We're talking to Major Pat Locke. If you want to learn more, www.seedsofhumanityfoundation.org. Major, mentoring these young people for the last 23-plus years, what have these young people taught you?
What the young people have taught me is never get up, give up. I've been a volunteer for probably the last over 20 years. And one of the things that I notice is that the volunteer work is hard, it's tedious, but the reward is the things that the students have achieved. They are willing to learn. They are easy to teach. And I would not have thought that 20 years ago. People talk about the millennials this and millennials that. I don't find the same things that I see in newspapers and talk shows about the millennials. And I think that they are more attuned to their own humanity than we realize. And as they bring me back around to this is where I am, this is how I want to be, this is what I want to achieve in life, they're closer to humanity than I even think that I was. I was more in the survival mode. They are not in the survival mode. They are in the progress mode. And so as I watch them, and now I've become a follower behind them because I have such confidence in what they are able to achieve. How they look at the world is so much different than how I looked at it when I was their age. And I'm like, if they're doing this now at such a young age, like Simone, Mark McGinnis from Detroit, who graduated, you know, last year, all of these guys that are achieving great things, and they speak like I speak. I mean, even though they're in their 20s, they speak like they're in their 50s or 60s. And I'm like, we are in for a rude awakening and a great revelation and surprise when these young people begin to fill the positions of leadership and the halls of power in our nation. I think we're in for a rude awakening and a surprisingly good one. And I think the rest of the world is also in for that same surprise.
We're talking to Major Pat Locke. Major, if there's a single mom tonight trying to raise four kids, working two jobs, what would you say to that mom?
I would say to that mom, look up, look around, and find a mentor. Not only did I mentor students like Simone and Mark McGinnis and all of those people that have achieved such great things, my biggest contribution was mentoring the parents. And I think the parents are hungry for knowledge, and sometimes we get so bogged down in survival, we forget to look up, look around, and ask for help. What do I do? This is what I want to achieve. How can I get there? If you ask, there's tons of people like me out there that are waiting to help. One of my goals in life is to connect mentors with people that need mentoring, and not just students, but also those parents. We're out there to help.
As our time winds down together this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners? Please.
To the young listeners, have patience. The world is open, but you have to have patience with those around you that are not like you, especially people that are older. The older people, they might not think like you, but if you talk to them, they will start to think like you, and you will start to think like them. But we have to have that conversation. Many times the young people just want to text and not really have conversations. We really need to start having conversations in this nation for the sake of our children.
Major Pat Locke, anybody who meets you says, wow, America's greatest days are still ahead of us. Thanks much for all you do. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you very much for having me.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.